NBA basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Banter Podcast. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss everything going on in basketball. A little bit of college basketball. We'll talk about the NCAA stuff later, way deeper in the show. But we are here to talk a little bit of NBA. We wish we had a bunch of great news like, hey, the NBA is back. It's official. It's 100%. Now, we do have some information. You know, we've known for quite some time it's Vegas or Disney. You know, it's Orlando or Vegas. That's basically what we've known. It does sound like it's going to be Orlando now, which makes a lot of sense. We won't thrive on that. We'll look at a poll going around the GMs on format and you know, what should we do as far as how many teams are going to come back? Should we have a play-in game for people that are separated by a game? Yada, yada, yada. So we'll give you a little bit of information on some stuff that has been leaked a little bit, or not necessarily leaked, but a source. Well, however got it, there is some information that we'll give you as far as what they're thinking about format-wise, and we'll give our takes on it. And then, like I said, a little bit of, you know, Zion Williams stuff. Nothing much with the NCAA. He's not even NCAA anymore, so I suppose that's not really NCAA in a sense. That seems like more of a beef between his somebody signed with whatever. But what we are going to talk about, well, we don't have episode 11 and 12 to talk about for The Last Dance, but we do want to keep it Bulls-oriented. So we are going to talk a little bit about, you know, we talked about Golden State last week, 2017-2018 squad when Durant was added and how they'd lined up. This week we're going to talk about 94-95 Houston Rockets, which obviously, you know, why Jordan was gone and then partially gone, that's who, you know, tore down the Nets. That's who won it back-to-back. It is kind of weird that, you know, 8 out of the 10 championships were from two teams at the front end, Detroit in 90, and then 99, the Spurs. So we'll talk a little bit about that and the matchup. You know, if you look at 91-93 Bulls, when they actually did play Houston, it does better than you think. And then the actual matchup, like who's going to cover Akeem Olajuwon. Not just that, but remember, the fourth and fifth year of consecutive championships, mentally, physically. Remember they talked about that in the documentary. We've talked about that so many times on the show with Golden State, with Detroit trying to get their three-peat. It happens, you know. People just wear down. Injuries happen. Just like Houston after they won those two, the next year Clyde got hurt. And they started having injuries that messed up their home court advantage. And you know that does have something to do with getting back to the finals or in the finals. So there's a variety of looks that we're going to take at it. Not just a straight-up, would Houston beat Chicago? There's layers to it. And also, like I said, what Jordan and the Bulls would say from that 91-93 time range about the matchup and how difficult it was. But Houston themselves were trying to rise as a team out of the West. So we'll definitely talk about that. Also, that 96-97-98 squad, if they did bring it back, which is what Jordan and a bunch of them were talking about at the end, we really don't know if Pippen would have came back. Because would have Krause figured that out? I don't know. But could they have four-peated? You know, I mean, they were really tired at the end of that other season, but it was a lockout season. So that could play positive because they get more rest, but also negative because they're an aging team. So it plays into it in a variety of ways. Horace Grant has spoken up. Some of it makes him sound like a hater. He's taking it personal. Sometimes he makes some good points. We'll talk about a variety of this stuff here on the NBA Banter Podcast. If this is your first time listening to the NBA Banter, and by the way, we normally call it the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, but obviously, you know, we can't do that. And speaking of playoffs, speaking of the NBA, you know, we would be in a couple of hours, there would be a game tonight, and it would be a conference final game, folks. It's just one of those things. I remember doing this week after week after the NCAA canceled, thinking, man, we'd be coming off a Final Four weekend and all that. So something to keep in mind, but it does sound like sometime in July the NBA will be back. Let's hope so. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the show, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. It streams live. It archives. It's basically the headquarters. You can find it at the show. But if you want to listen to the NBA Banter podcast and you don't want to go to Blog Talk, some people download it. Some people listen to the browser. If you don't want to do that, it's everywhere almost. I mean, it's at the Ropeitupe Radio podcast. To find this show, is at Apple Podcasts. It's on iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found all across the board, including Spotify. You can find the show with your Siri or Alexa right through Spotify or TuneIn if you feel. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And one thing real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, you're looking for something, I got something for you. I use it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable, okay? The plans start as low as $55 a month. However, there is a seven-day free trial. You can just try it out once you sign up. There's no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. It's AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. However, if you're in a part of the country in the rural area or by an airport, I can relate to that, or you just got real mediocre internet. Let's say, it's one thing to watch something that's archived already on Netflix or something like that. But when you have a live streaming, platform, that does usually take better internet. I got something for you. It's more of a traditional platform, the AT&T TV, the cable platform. That's available here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, parts of New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of California, all the way to the Northwest and Seattle, other places like St. Louis in the Midwest. It's a growing platform, like I mentioned. It's not everywhere, but try it out, AT&T TV. You can just Google it, put your area code in there, see if you got it. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now. Live streaming cable. Okay. So we are going to kind of get some of the blasey blah stuff out of the way as far as format, polls and stuff that the NBA is sending to GMs and whatnot. But before we do that, I will bring in my co-host, Marshall, just to see what's going on with him, man. How you doing?
I'm good, sir.
How still you running? Still huh? Losing weight? Still running?
Sadly, that's been on delay. Uh-oh. I was grocery shopping, and it eight different things happened, and it led to me trying to put my stack of my watermelon buy drinks on the top of my fridge. I'd already opened it, take one out, and one fell right on my toe.
Oh,
yeah. So the swelling's gone down in my foot every day, and the toe now is just bruised pretty bad. But I think since the swelling's gone down every day, I hope it's not broken. Because I know I'm excited to golf with my dad this summer. That's something we always do. And I want to keep running because I've been losing weight and in best shape of my life. And now I'm chilling on the couch watching a bunch of television. It's hard to do a whole lot of workouts when you can't use your foot. You can do some stuff, but I get bored doing push-ups every day with, my leg on one another. So, yeah. But hopefully in a week or two, the pain's gone because I don't want to wear a damn boot. That would suck, but. I don't know.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially in the summer, like you said. I mean, the only thing you can do right now is swim. That would do it, but where do you swim,
Yeah, no shit. I will say, you'd mentioned the Jordan documentary is over. They did replay the Game 6 in HD, which was kind of cool. I actually, due to my boredom and my busted foot, I watched that.
Yeah.
And just one side note, and I'll throw it back to you. It was really cool. So in the Game 6, when they're breaking down the end of the game, and they actually show footage of inside the conversation of a timeout with about 2 minutes to go. And it was really cool because in the timeout before Jordan had the play, this was a timeout before the timeout of the huge play where they stripped Malone. Pippen said, hey, when it comes to later in the game, make sure if they throw it into Malone, make sure to double team him, pretend to fall back and then go back and strip it.
Right.
So Pippen actually called out hey, when they go to the post, fake it and go back and double him. And I thought that was really cool just because I'm a sports nerd and, like, dude, that's what Jordan did.
Yeah, so and it worked.
It's like, holy shit, Pippen called that shit out, and it worked 100% because you see it in the game, and you're like, dude, Malone had no freaking clue at all.
So, I mean, I remember it live. Like, oh, shit, damn, I didn't even see him come back. I didn't even know I thought he was gone, too, you know?
Yeah, so I just thought it was really neat that, like, Pippen legit called that out, like, in a timeout, like, 2 minutes before it happened. That was just kind of a cool sport, you know, nerd moment.
Yeah. And like we said, though, that starting four of Harper, him, Jordan, and Rodman, talk about the defensive awareness, the grit, the length. Like, it's just tough to mess with that lineup. I mean, you got enough scoring. There is a guy in there that can score a little bit, and Pip can score himself. But, yeah, that's interesting. That is cool. I love when they do that. I've been watching some of these what the hell is it called, where they – Kobe did a bunch of them too, where they, it's not awareness. I can't remember what it is, but it's basically like Mark Jackson was breaking down one of those Pacer games. Phil Jackson did one. I believe Steve Kerr did one. And those are just fun to see these guys. And, you know, of course, like, you know, when he'd hit a bucket, Jackson be like, there goes that man. You know what I mean? Like, wide open shot to Mark Jackson, you know he's going to knock it down, you know? Like, so they also were playing with stuff too. But to see the people that actually do it break down those plays and how they have the light on to a couple different people and just seeing how they did it, yeah, those are dope, man. That's cool. I got to see that. I'm sure it's on archive or something like that. But that's cool. That's really cool. So real quick, as far as this is from The Athletic, this is basically surveys, polls in a sense, surveys that they're sending around to GMs just to kind of get a feel of where everybody's at, what they think maybe should happen. And some of it is a couple of things that they're talking about, a two-step approach to starting of the games, two-week training camp at the team's market, then a two-week quarantine training camp in the playing location, which would make a lot of sense. You can kind of locate everybody, put them in one area for 2 weeks, that 14 days that we hear a lot about, and then move them and then do the same thing again before you even start a game or anything like that. Players are basically they have that full nasal swab that's just right there for them. And they can get them in, you know, within 5-6 hours, a lot of it too. There's some other information out there that's kind of like, well, we'll see and where they go, doctors and security and all that. That's kind of more of some vague stuff, but here's some really interesting stuff. Advanced directly to the playoffs, 16 teams, 4 rounds, best of 7, the full thing basically. So start as of March 12th standings, a playoff plus option, expanding the number of teams with opportunity to play either through holding a play-in tournament, like we've actually mentioned in the past, to determine the final seeds or to play off the bubble or a first round to get like a group stage thing. The playoff plus, how many teams should return? 18, 20, 24. You know, how far do we give these people a chance to get in? And then should all of the teams come back? That's also something that they're asking, which I really don't think that should be. But they're talking about maybe a playoff tournament featuring bubble teams from the eighth seed play-in tournament for 7th and 8th. A variety of things that we've talked about. Each team plays 2 games against each group opponent, and top 2 teams from each group advance to traditional second round. Scrimmage games prior to any restart, 2, 3, 4, or 5 of them. Total regular season games, 72 to 76. Playoff format, you know, the same thing, traditional instead of, you know, or reseeding all the teams. They actually do put that in there. They have been, you know, flirting with that over the last couple of years. I hope they actually do that at some point. And then latest possible dates to finish, Labor Day, September 15th. October 1st, October 15th, or November 1st. And this type of format would probably – I've been hearing a lot of the third week in July. But if they do start to come back in a week or two, it could be like we mentioned earlier, July or mid-July too. So These are all things that make that light at the end of the tunnel that we've been talking about brighter and brighter, man.
Yeah, I think that, again, there's...
You're blocking your phone, Mike, a little bit.
Huh, I got a haircut, too. Am I better now?
Yeah, you're good. You're fine.
Oh, okay. I think the main goal, if you haven't heard our last few podcasts, my point's always kind of been is that I think Silver's done a great job handling all of this. I think he's looking for health. I don't think he's being irrational like other people in our country. I think he's doing everything a leader should. But I think his main issue, Chris, he doesn't want to have happen on his watch is to have a season where there's no champion. Because 20, 30 years from now, when, you know, there's new sport fans and, you know, history's been written and all this stuff, I don't think you want to be the commissioner that has a year where, hey, the Los Angeles Lakers went 42-18, and that was their record this year, you know. So who won the title? Oh, there was no title that year, you know. I think part of it's that, and I think part of it is the fact that these athletes are probably losing their damn minds. I was listening to that Memphis podcast, and you know, one of the they kind of do a weekly update, like what are the Grizzly players up to this week, and they've kind of got to the point now where it's like, all the Grizzly players are bored. Like some guys play video games, and besides that, they want to play basketball. You know, I mean, there's only so much time where
shooting around the hoop in their backyard or something. They want to play.
Yeah, and I made a point, which we've kind of talked about as well, but, you know, this is the longest stretch of many of these guys' careers where they've not played basketball. Like, you know, even in the off season, you know, I guarantee, like, you know, James Harden or Curry, like, those guys don't just, like, leave a basketball alone. Like,
right.
They might
they
take
meet
a couple
up in little private gyms and play each other.
Yeah, and you know, they're not going to, they're let the body heal, maybe take a week off to go travel with the family and the wife and whatnot, but it's not a 2 months of, like, you know, I'm not shooting around, you know. Those guys like Curry and Harden and pretty much any NBA player, like, that, you know, basketball is their life, and again, now you want to risk out the health facts, too, because I actually had a debate with someone I saw yesterday. She's like, well, what's the answer for people get sick? And I think that's the part where, again, if you're Silver, just, you know, cross your fingers and hope that, like, a whole team doesn't get sick. And if it happens, handle it the best way you can. I just think that, unfortunately, that is a risk that the sports world is probably going to take. And hopefully if we're testing and have precautions and have the thermometers and doctors on staff and everything we can, hopefully we'll avoid that happening. Because I know, like, the German soccer has been the first sport to come back globally, essentially. And
Hold on. Boxing already had one weeks ago. Calm down. No, I'm just kidding. You're right. I hear you. I saw a little clip of it, actually.
And they had a manager sneak out of the hotel to, like, go get toothpaste or something. So they put him on, like, a two-week quarantine thing. So, right. Like, they're taking that shit serious. So I do think that we'll have NBA, because for the reasons I mentioned, and hopefully they'll handle it well. And hopefully the guys stay healthy. I think, Chris, when this first all happened, people were a little bit scared. And maybe for the week or two later, it's like, oh, is there going to be a season? But I'd be really surprised. I don't think we're going backwards. I mean, you know, I know as we were talking on the phone before this podcast, some states are doing good now. Some states are still struggling with this pandemic in general. But I'd be massively surprised if the NBA was like, you know, we're just going to call it good. I think we've gone too far now with too many proposed plans for this to not result in us having our playoff podcast in a month or two.
Right, especially with only 15 guys, especially when they can go to Orlando, which already hosts college tournaments, high school stuff, pros, you know, summer league stuff. It can be done. And another thing is a lot of these guys are in great health shape, too. Because their body is their temple, right? And this is their whole job, is to keep their body in good shape. Now, there are some people that have underlying issues like asthma and stuff like that. They've been able to be okay. But a lot of these guys, even if they were to get it, maybe they'd be able to fight it off better than the average person. And also because they'd be able to detect it earlier. And that's a key thing. This isn't going to be like, I mean, you cannot feel anything and still get tested. Whereas me and you and most of the country, that's not the case. There's still not even enough tests to do that, even if you could do that. So, yeah, I agree. I think I'd be surprised, too. I'd definitely be surprised. So.
I guess, Chris, the only negative moving forward with these plans is the fact that they'd have to pay out to the TV stations. That's one thing we've kind of talked about. I believe for every local TV market, a team is expected to show, for example, 70 Timberwolf games. So if FSN's only showing you 63 Timberwolf games this year, the NBA will have to cut out a check for another 7 games to a station. But again, we're in a time now where the NBA can afford to do that. They don't want to, I'm sure, but that's not a reason to bring all 30 teams back and play games just for a financial sake when the NBA can afford to pay that part off.
Yeah, exactly. And even if the teams or the fans wouldn't have showed up to those Timberwolves games, you still got to play them.
Sure.
They actually do okay. Not that bad. But no, you're right. You're right. That regional, that local and regional stuff, that they're going to have to give some money back or get paid less or whatever the case is. There's no doubt about that. And it seems like that hurdle is going to be okay. We see, like, the NCAA as far as for football and basketball and sports in general, but that's the ones what we're talking about coming this fall. You know, the SEC and the Big 12 are going to start allow June 1st to let their players come back to the facility. And a lot of them are saying they're more safe in the facility than they are here or than they are out in the normal world, you know. They, you know, we can keep track of them way better, and so, yeah, I agree. I think it'll come back, and basically how we're gonna do the show is, we normally take about a 7-week break in the middle of the summer, basically after free agency, and sometimes we'll do a free agency show, and then 3 weeks later we do another one because, you know, it just pops up, someone got traded big or whatever. So we'll probably – our next show will basically be on – and we're thinking it'll be by next Monday that they announce. So – or at least I'm thinking that just based off the news and stuff like that. So that'll probably be our next – we do have some topics for that show too. And then we're probably going to take a break because before you know it, the NBA playoffs will be here. And they even said September 15th is the earliest it would stop. So there's a couple of weeks right there where we'll hopefully, knock on wood, have college basketball going on too. So we will shut it down for a little bit after our last show, which will be whenever the hell they say the NBA's back. But speaking of the NBA, let's get into a couple of different items when it comes to breaking down the Bulls in general. Right, one of the best runs of anything, and obviously when you have the best player on there, it's a worthy of comparing and contrast and whatnot. But before we get into the 94-95 roster of the Houston Rockets and lining it up with the 91-92-93 Bulls and all that, before we get to that, let's just talk about that 96-97-98 run. We're not going to talk about that. We're talking about the 99 year, actually. So we know that they've won 3 in a row. We also know that they got pushed to the brink with Indiana to Game 7, and they got pushed pretty well against Utah, of course. So, and they were on the road in Utah that year, whereas the opposite was the year before. So, you know, 3 years in a row winning championships. You saw those last two series, what it took out of the team. Mike admitted it, and he doesn't admit shit. And so, I mean, that tells you he was fucking tired, you know? And maybe that's because they got pushed to Game 7 and he was saying it's worse than it really was. But either way, we all know from the history of the sport of trying to do it over and over again and playing those extra games and all that. And the team itself was going to age. So I'm going to pass this one to my co-host real quick. When you look at a team, the next year that got out was the Knicks. When they really came together, they got to the finals. And it was the Spurs in 99 that ended up winning. So the Spurs won the championship. Now, it was a locked-out year, too. So they only played 50 games. So it kind of plays into it. First of all, straight up going 4 in a row would be very difficult mentally, physically, and just injuries. If Pip or if Rodman or if Jordan, those three guys, if any of those guys get hurt, they probably wouldn't be winning the series that they won the year before either. And we've seen that, how that happens. Happened last year for the Toronto, right? So that could happen. And not only that, but like I said, the 4 years in a row, the Knicks, who not all that long before that, took them to Game 7 already. The Spurs had Robinson, who wasn't by any stretch of the imagination old. And they had Duncan, who had a couple years to get in there, and he was a stud. They had, you know, Avery Johnson, Mario Elie, Sean Elliott. They had a squad, dude. They had a squad full of vets that were damn good, too. So, long, lanky. I mean, they're a good club, obviously. And obviously that, you know, it took them 4 years to get another one, but that was basically with Robinson now taking a back seat. And then all these youngsters, Parker and all that, coming up and being studs. But let's look at that. So when you look at the lockout season, to give them more time to rest, that's awesome. But also, to give them more time to rest, it may put on a couple LBs. It may be what we were talking about earlier weeks ago. Man, you wonder, we've talked about it for boxing too on the boxing show, it's really going to be telling who's going to come back and who's not in great shape and ready to go. And obviously they still played a 50-game season, so it wasn't like they went right to the playoffs or anything like this year. But what's your thoughts on that? I mean, that's if they got Pippen back. The Pippen back is probably the only thing that I don't know would happen. That's a really in-between one on that one, and based off what they already went through. But in theory, let's say he's back. And Jackson's back for another year, even if he goes 82-0, right? You know, that type of thing. Even if he goes 100-0 with the playoffs, he still couldn't come back, right? What are your thoughts there, based off how I laid that out? Would that squad, who in 96, most people say that's the best team of all time, would they have been able to cut down the Nets in 99? That would have been a challenge, man.
That's what young Duncan and Robinson, right?
Well, not a young Robinson, but not an old Robinson. He won in 95, I believe, the MVP. So he wasn't as old as he was in 2003. Remember when he had taken Rose had come up as far as like a small power forward who would fill in, and he played, but it was more reserved. But yeah,
But a young Tim Duncan, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
A ready-to-go MVP type Tim Duncan coming into his own 100%. And he didn't take long because he stayed in college for 4 years too. So he was ready to go right when he stepped in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the – I mean, you can never count Jordan out from a – you learn that from watching a 10-part documentary that the dude – couldn't hit a baseball and a curveball, and people called him out, and a couple weeks later his average was going up. So I mean, you know, to doubt a man like that is something you don't want to do. But I mean, it would have been another big punch to take, and maybe that would have finally had, you know, a chink in the armor. I mean, that Spurs team, you also with the Spurs team now, you again have Hall of Fame talent that matches theirs, and a Hall of Fame coach who matches theirs. Like, I mean, that Spurs team would have been just as competitive as the Jazz team or the other teams they played, just because you had two of the best bigs of all time with a coach and guards who were respectable. So, I mean, I think it would have been really interesting to see if Jordan would have been still, you know, mentally quite as strong and physically there. I mean, you can tell he's a guy who, when the year was over, was like ready to just go on like a 3-week vacation and just like sit on a beach. Like he put everything into every season he had. So could if he had another year of that again, like it'd be hard to say. And I mean, obviously the Stockton Malone pick and roll was a tough element to defend, but I mean, I think Duncan and Rodman would have been a hell of an element to defend because Rodman can't guard them both. Like you would have had, you know, maybe Kukoc or Pippen on one of them, you know, and it would have kind of been a different setup, you know, because that is the one thing. The numbers did show that the main reason why the Bulls did win their games, whether it was that those clutch games against the Pacers or the clutch games against the Jazz, was the rebounding. Like,
yep.
That was kind of hidden in the facts was the rebounding was the Bulls were an incredible rebounding team, partially due to Rodman and having a very athletic squad. So I think it would have been a different dichotomy. And obviously, you know, the NBA now, or I should say back then, was really, you know, the more post players you had, the more well-rounded you were, you know.
Right.
I heard numbers about when I was rewatching that game six again, like the Jazz, like if you had left out like game three, like we're like, it was like freaking 12 of 32 or something for threes. Like the way the sport has changed on three pointers is just so crazy. But yeah, I think it would have been really hard for them to do just because it would have been another year of wear and tear on the body. And I'm sure Pippen would have had his issue. You know, it's just, there's so many things where you're like, oh, Pippen might have been really pissed off that year. And, you know, Phil might have been facing more pressure. And can Jordan do it again? Like, yeah, it would have been a hell of a fun series. Maybe you would have favored San Antonio just due to not being as worn out and having a skill level that could probably really closely match the Bulls.
Right. But in the same breath, maybe they wouldn't have been the favorite going in on the books just because of not necessarily the unknown for the players, but as a unit, as a team, they hadn't been to the finals. So maybe
true.
Until all of a sudden game one and game two comes, you're like, oh shit, dude. Wow, this is a tough series. Because even when you look at these Bulls betting odds, you know, you look at some of them were tighter. Some of them that seem, you know, on paper to be easier turned out to be tougher. So, and that's just the finals. We're not talking about the Pacers or the Knicks who would push them to game 7-2. So breaking down this, Timmy Duncan, 22 years old, played all 50 games, was playing 39 minutes, shooting basically 50%, 22 points, 11.4 boards, and 2.5 blocks. Now you had Avery Johnson averaging about 10 points and 7 assists. He was a vet. They had a good blend of vets and then, well, a lot of vets and then some young players in there. But David Robinson, he averaged 16 points, 10 boards, and 2.5 blocks. And he was right on that 32-minute mark. So they were able to calm him down a little bit on the minutes. And then you had the small forward, Sean Elliott, which is a handful of a player in general. In fact, Sean Elliott was traded with Horry. They traded him, but Elliott, this is years ago, but like 3 years before that or whatever, but Elliott had like some sort of heart condition. So he actually had to get surgery and all that so that he failed the physical. So it sent Horry back to the Rockets. And Elliott kind of made a comeback and was still a good player. Then you had Mario Elie, another vet who had won championships and could play the point to an extent. Playing really good. You had, the funny thing is you had Steve Kerr on that as well. Kerr came and won a championship with that. Jaren Jackson was even a quality player. Malik Rose, like I said, really started coming up and giving good minutes off the bench. And he would be the guy that in 2003 would be better. He didn't play much. They had Will Perdue as well. Perdue really didn't play much near the end of his run because he had been there earlier for the Bulls too. Antonio Daniels too, I forgot. And I did say Jerome Kersey for Portland. He's just a bench player. So, yeah, man, that's also getting through the Knicks. We're just giving him the Knicks. When the Knicks had already shown that they could run with them a little bit. You know what I mean? So, or not a little bit. They pushed into game seven. What was it? 2-0? They're down 2-0, right? Yeah, they're down 2-0 in that one series. So, now Jordan and company came back. And like you said, Starks couldn't hit shit. But it's a really interesting question. And the lockout adds even more mystery to it in a sense. Because that really could, for older guys, that really could go either way. And heart and wanting something. And, you know, the last time, like you said, I thought you broke it down well with Jordan, too. The last time he hit three, he retired. he was like, I already got it. My, you know, maybe he wasn't as hungry, and then he got the hunger back. And of course, something to do with his pops in that realm as well. We can't discount that. But it's interesting, man. It's really interesting to see how that would work out. We obviously don't know, you know, what's what on that. Now, Horace Grant, speaking of this team in general, Horace Grant, and it's not obviously he wasn't part of the team by the 96, 97, 98, but Horace Grant's really come out and he's made a couple of good points that I'll mention, but he's also made more of a – he comes across at times like a hater because it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, he does make some points. I mean, the whole thing of Horace Grant was basically the guy that gave Smith the whole – all the – he was the leak, the all the information for that book, that tell-all book, The Jordan Rules. You know, I always thought that was kind of bullshit, too, because it's like – well, and they, the way they covered it, his point was he didn't like how they broke down Pippen when Jordan wasn't there, but they were going to cover that. I didn't have a problem with it. The only problem I had it with Jordan on Pippen was Jordan was still in between on the migraine. He was still like, well, what am I going to do? He told me he had a migraine, or he said headache. I think he used the word headache. And it's kind of like, well, I mean, he couldn't see, dude. So – you know, locally, we had a player from Florida for the Bikes locally, Percy Harvin. I give use him as an example because we're talking about football players. And football players, as far as toughness and sucking it up in the physicality of a sport, yeah, the 80s and 90s were physical in basketball, but it's still not football, right? Although sometimes it looked like that. Sometimes it looked like football and boxing on the court. But, I did think he kind of, not throw him under the bus, but left it vague. Meanwhile, Scotty would play with a hurt back. The Percy Harvin thing was, this guy missed games because of that, because of migraines. And he's playing football, and he's one of the tougher football players. Like, he's not afraid of contact. Like, there's just – so that one, kind of, to me, it was kind of like, come on, Jordan. You're going to call it a – well, he said, what am I going to do? He said he had this. So it still kind of lingers. But the other stuff I didn't have a problem with. And Horace is a little bent out of shape out of that. So I don't know. I mean, Scotty already proved himself playing with that hurt back. And like we said off air, playing with a migraine and playing with a hurt back where you can barely run is way harder than playing with a stomach flu. So – it's not like Jordan was, you know, puking on that. You know, there was actually that puking on the bench, just to finish that. But there actually was some more news about that, about how the pizza guy that made the pizza and made sure nobody touched it was actually a Bulls fan. And in the extra people there, most of that was just hotel security. It wasn't five dudes that from the pizza shop like they made it sound like. That was pretty funny. There's also that little note about what Jordan would do to his food. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, because in the documentary they talked about how he was, you know, he's the only one that ate pizza, but apparently, you know, the producer of the whole doc said that Jordan would spit on his food a lot, so like no one would want to even share with the guy. So, you know, in the video, in the movie, they're like, "Well, yeah, Jordan ate the whole pizza by himself. Well, yeah, if you spit on it, I'm not touching the pizza of Jordan. Even if I'm that hungry, I'll go get my own damn pizza."
Right.
So, yeah, that was an interesting bit. But yeah, that did make me laugh quite a bit.
But go ahead.
I hope that this masterpiece that we did see, I hope this opens door for like other teams. You know, I wouldn't mind, and hell, I don't even care what sport. If it's like the, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins with like Crosby and Malkin, or you know, the Cowboys or the Packers or yeah, any team, I hope that teams are like, man, this would be kind of a cool idea. Now, obviously, it's a lot harder to make a badass documentary if you've not won like 6 Stanley Cups or like 4 World Series. But I hope that, you know, some sport teams kind of get the idea of, wow, that was actually really cool. Maybe next year we'll have a camera crew follow us. Cause you know, it seems like besides the NFL Hard Knocks documentary, which I think some people like depending on what team they have during the year, I hope that this kind of opens the door for more sport documentaries, because I know that we were bored during this time with everything going on, but that was a really, really well done documentary. So I'm hoping that, you know, maybe next year we'll be doing our podcast again, talking about, hey, the documentary on so-and-so was really cool. Here's blah, 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 my thoughts on it. I hope that opens the door for more teams, Chris, and we can enjoy more moments like this for sports.
Yeah, and it does sound like next summer they're going to have a Kobe one. Another thing is, what we don't know that has been going on is that there has been people that have been filming stuff randomly throughout the years, right? And that can be used as footage, just like I didn't know that, you know, someone was following that whole year. I didn't know that. I guess I kind of knew it because they'd show little clips of stuff, but they never put it all together, you know, in that. It was basically like they did little specials on it, but they didn't. It wasn't like that. So they had all this footage, and they're like, let's fucking do something with it, you know. So there could be, especially in this day and age, ever since, you know, early 2000s where digital video became a little bit more inexpensive to grab a camera, and then now with the camera phone, you know, it's a lot easier to document this stuff, so hopefully that's going on, because you're right, I agree. As far as, like, the other stuff, the book thing did kind of throw me off, like, to throw him under the bus saying he leaked it, he's a snitch, when, you know, one of the early parts of the documentary, he snitched out the people that were using cocaine and shit like that in this documentary. But here's one thing I'll say is I think it's been a little weird to just – I did – even back then I didn't really agree with, like, oh, Horace is the one that told everything. Because Horace says in the documentary, the reason why he doesn't really like to call it a documentary is because, like, for instance, Steve Kerr, Paxton, B.J. Armstrong, that Scott Burrell dude who he always picked on, he would pick on people he knew he had a good shot of beating up. But what they didn't tell you in the documentary, and this is what, you know, this is the part of the documentary that makes it more of a docudrama and just an awesome piece of work that is, you know, serves its purpose, but it might not be documented 100% from a viewpoint, but it doesn't take anything away from it of the quality of work and how good it was and how gripping it was. However, you know, he tried to do that with Harper, and Harper said, I'm trying just as hard as you in this practice, and two, I'm right here, dude. So if you try to throw a punch at me, let's do it. And Jordan didn't want any. Didn't approach Grant. Didn't approach a bunch of dudes, but yet they didn't talk about that part, and that's the only problem that I ever had with any of this. But here's the Sam Smith, the guy that who, you know, he had a great career before he even started, you know, writing about sports. And here's a little clip of him, and then we'll get to the Houston Rockets and whatnot.
I was an investigative reporter in Indiana. It won, you know, the award-winning, won national awards, and people went to court. I got beaten up by somebody, assaulted as a result of stories I wrote. People lost elections. Then I go to Washington, D.C., doing investigative work. I have a background in business. My undergraduate degree is in accounting, so I have business knowledge. I go to Washington doing national investigative work, breaking stories. Then I take a little sabbatical, and I work on the staff of a U.S. senator. Then I come to the Chicago Tribune. I covered the 1980 presidential campaign, doing national stuff. So now I've done all these things, and I get in on sports eventually, covering these things. So now, in 1988 or 89, when this 22-year-old kid from rural Georgia comes to Chicago, finally I can get the information to write a book about the Chicago Bulls, because Horace Grant, who is, you know, has never basically been out of Georgia his whole life, has now come to Chicago, can show me the way. I mean, this is such moronic thinking.
And that's even back then, you know, I had known this guy to an extent, and I didn't even know about some of the stuff he had done as a writer all the way until I looked into it, and it's like, wow. Like, yeah, I mean, first of all, if you're going to write a tell-all book like that, you're not going to have just one or two sources, you know what I mean? So, you know, sometimes, like I said, Horace, definitely there's moments where he's coming across as a hater. Of course, they were going to go and look at Pippen when he didn't want to go in that game. Of course, you know, this wasn't going to – I can understand the bitter feelings, but they just didn't – like, for instance, Jordan just holds grudges, dude. That's just how it goes. I think that's well documented by now. But Horace did make a good point that Charles Barkley has said in the media years ago that, you know, when asked about how good of Michael Jordan is in the front office and as an owner, he hasn't been that good. I mean, Kevin McHale, Isaiah Thomas, Larry Bird was pretty good. I thought he was good. And then as a coach, Isaiah was better as a coach than a GM, as we know. But, you know, these are basic stuff. I just named two Hall of Famers, McHale and Isaiah, and everybody knows they weren't good GMs. But it's accepted. But when someone says that, and Barkley said it on a show, that he's failed as an owner or as a GM, which he has. He definitely had. Kwame Brown as a first pick. Where's he at? Like, he hasn't been a good front. Huh? It's no big deal. But he hasn't talked to Charles since then. They don't talk anymore. They literally don't have conversations anymore. So, I mean, you know, a lot of this is just bitterness, old feeling, and competitiveness. You know what I mean? So it's all part of the mystique, I think, when it comes to this, you know? A lot of emotion.
Yeah, and that's what makes it entertaining. I was actually having a debate. Well, I'll just say that we were having a debate, but I miss that we don't quite have that nowadays in the NBA. I wish that there was more bad blood. Like, I was a Knicks fan growing up, and watching, like, the Knicks Pacers and Knicks Heat, like, that was
I'd say
10
in
times.
Sports in general. I mean, yeah. You got guys in football that exchange each other's jerseys after the game.
Yeah, and just, I mean, the closest rivalry I could name that I've had is to being a Warriors fan would be, like, Warriors-Clippers. And, I mean, yeah, like, I know probably Draymond doesn't like Chris Paul, but, like, the Knicks and Pacers and Knicks and Heat, like, that was just some, like, cold-blooded, like, just hatred. And, like, the games were fun because they kind of beat the crap out of each other. So from that sense, I miss that in NBA. I wish the NBA had that more. I would enjoy the sport more, you know, because my best friend's younger cousin's like, dude, NBA nowadays is so much better for the game. I was like, yeah, you know, for sure, from a style standpoint. But I told him, I said, I would prefer to go back to the 90s where maybe the score wasn't, you know, high, but, like, the games were just more physical and tough. Like, I know that it's changed. Everyone would have their own opinion. But there was a sense of, like, you know, just a competitiveness and a fierce rivalry that we don't have now. And I know that it's not going to change anytime again soon. And obviously the flagrant fouls and all that stuff now. But it was so cool to watch games back then. And now you're seeing an art of the game more with threes and everything. But
yeah. There's
never really that rivalry. Like, you know, again, the Warriors and Clippers is, like, the biggest rivalry I can list. And, I mean, again, that's just Blake Griffin shit talking, and no one likes Chris Paul in general. So the fact that him and Draymond don't get along, like, that's not really breaking news, you know. But, again, I don't know. That's it. But
It's more in college sports that you still have the rivalries that will live up to that. But I think across the board in sports that it is a different mentality. I mean, some players have it. Some players get, you know, like, ripped on for having that much care, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. I like when players cry. I mean, not on some random shit, but after they lose, I don't have a problem with them crying because it shows that they give two shits. But I think you're right, man. I think it's just slowly but surely we've kind of, you know, we've fallen off on some of that. Obviously, the rule change and whatnot plays into that and all that. But, yeah, I mean, Larry Bird and Magic hated each other for a while. They did a commercial, and, you know, Larry's mom made Larry invite Magic in to have, you know, food. And then they started talking. They started, you know, liking each other. And once they were done, then they were really good friends. But during it, they hated it. And Larry even said, most of those fights that were started and all that, when we played, it was me. Because I couldn't handle it. I was like, no, fuck this. You know what I mean? This is not how we hate it. We hate each other, but we respect each other, but we hate each other. And the fact that these guys are still holding on to these grudges, dude, it's, you know, in life, you should hold on to grudges in the normal life of your friends and family and all that. I get that part. But this is different. This is different. So when we talk about this Bulls squad, 91 to 93, obviously, the first three-peat, right? And you have Horace Grant instead of Rodman. There's some tweaks. B.J. Armstrong's in and out. Kerr's just getting there, so he's not part of this. There's some pieces, but most of all, yeah, Bill Cartwright, who's really old at that time. And like I said, Horace Grant and whatnot. Paxton, of course. Craig Hodges, another guy. But when you look at this squad, okay, so 94-95, when Jordan, you know, took off, this was the year the Rockets won. And then 94, they won too. They got Clyde Drexler on their squad that next year. They won it without Clyde the first year. Next year they didn't. Or they did. They had him on the squad. But it's interesting. This one's interesting because in the same time that the Bulls were on top, 91-93, Houston was trying to grind and get up there and add to their team, much like we saw with Jordan going off for, you know, against the Lakers, against Detroit, against Celtics, especially the Celtics. He never won a game against the Celtics in the playoffs and rarely won a Celtics game in general. It didn't have to do with, oh, Jordan just can't get over the hump, although that's what we'd be saying on Twitter right now. But until he got over the hump, right? But it wasn't that. The teams, they just weren't as good. I mean, that 87 squad had 5 Hall of Famers, you know? And, you know, some of that whole, well, it's different now. Free agency is different. But, you know, if Charles Barkley or Larry Bird or Magic or Jordan, these guys didn't have to go anywhere. I mean, Magic got drafted to a team that had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and they had Worthy on it. You know, like I said, that 87 squad for the Celtics had 5 Hall of Famers. He played with Hall of Famers his whole career and one of the best sidekick ever. And one of the best defensive rebounds ever. You know what I mean? So everybody needs something. But that's also why people weren't going anywhere. Because why go someplace, you know, when you got Hall of Famers next to you? I think people get a little weirded out on that. But if you look at it, while Houston wasn't a dominant team 91-93 by any stretch of the imagination, they did match up pretty damn well with that squad, that Bulls squad. And there was a, you know, because you played 2. For a while, you only played 1, and then you played 5 conference games instead of 4 and 2 like it is now. It has been for a while, but it had already changed by that time. So over a 3-year stretch, when they won those championships, 5 out of those 6 games, Houston won. And a lot of it had to do with matchup. Hakeem was a tough matchup. However, the rest of his team, it was tough to, you know, they had Vernon Maxwell. They started putting the pieces together. But it's a hell of a freaking team once they got it together. So if you're already doing good against the team, if Michael Jordan and other people on that squad admit, damn, dude, they may not be able to get out of the West, you know, or Jordan would even joke, like, they can't get out of the West, thank God, you know. So he was hacking them but still giving them respect, like, hey, dude, that's just a tough squad, man. They had Vernon Maxwell. They had a couple of guys. But once we get to their championship years, you have Hakeem Olajuwon averaging 27 points, 12 boards, almost 4 blocks, steal and a half, and 3.5 assists. Otis Thorpe was the power forward next to him, 14 and almost 11 boards. Just a solid player. Vernon Maxwell that year really blew up. And this was a guy they call him Mad Max, very passionate / emotional guy, and he went into the stands more than once. But one of them later in his career, his mom had passed away, and somebody in the crowd let him know that, and he attacked that dude. And I'm like, hey, that dude had him coming. But then you also had Robert Horry, who was a small forward slasher who could play that 4 position as well, and that's something he did a little bit later. When they did, the next year, they traded Otis Thorpe for Clyde Drexler. But you had Kenny the Jet from North Carolina. He was a lot of guys averaging between, like, 9 points and, like, 13. You had Mario Elie. I mentioned him this is about 4 years before that 99 squad, and you also had a rookie, Sam Cassell, who was damn good. Chris Gent was a good power forward as well. So that squad was a damn good club. Once they got it all together, it was a damn good club with Houston. And when you look at how Houston had to get over the hump, it makes it more intriguing. I'm going a little long-winded here, and I apologize about that. But, I mean, when you look at how they won that first, they won against the Knicks, right? So they had to play Portland. No problems there, really, in that series. They got down to the Suns, right? Phoenix Suns with Barkley, Marley, all those guys. They got down 2-0, ended up winning the series. And then they had to go through Utah, who was still kind of coming up at that time, just getting their shit together, still a couple years away from being dominant. And then they beat the Knicks, that same Knicks team that not long after, the year before, or no, 2 years. No, then, I think that's actually when it was that they pushed them to seven. But they did. They were a damn good club. And that would have been, once again, Marshall, you know, I'll break down the next year and how that went, but once again, you're looking at something where you're going on your fourth championship and your fifth championship next. When you got Jordan saying, hey, I'm glad they don't come out of the West because that's a tough matchup, that means something, and it's always been in the back of people's heads that were, you know, tuned in back then. That 94-95 club could definitely hang with 91-93 Bulls, and these are just things that you speculate because you have a passion, you know?
Yeah, and I think you would have had to give the Rockets a bit of an edge. I think that it just goes to show the drain it takes out for a team to win three titles in a row. And, I mean, the fact that it's still incredible that LeBron went to nine straight finals. Like, people, like, if, you know, and again, he has won them all like Jordan, but the fact that he's done that, like, you know, that's one thing that no one can take away from that. I mean, Jordan was tired after 3-3. And, I mean, you know, LeBron did 9. So that's even just as freaking remarkable. But I think with the
drain. And not getting that payoff either.
Yeah.
And that has to play into it too, right?
Absolutely. So, again, we don't need to open that whole debate. But if we're going to applaud Jordan for making all these title runs with, you know, incredible players, LeBron did a bunch of runs with some not so talented guys. Dellavedova and Ron Harper are different people. But
yeah, Curry made him pay for those first three games the rest of the series too, didn't he?
yeah, he did. So I just think that from the fatigue that was shown, I would have had to have obviously given a little bit of an edge to the Rockets. I mean, you know, we talk about Malone was causing issues like he should, but, I mean, Hakeem, Rodman would have had his hands full. Like, that dude was a legit, legit center. And you had, they had their old people around them as well. So just from what we've seen, I think you would have had to give the edge to Houston. You know, Jordan was kind of empty in the tank, right, per se. And it would have been really hard to put together another year of what would have been probably another deep run, you know, finals. So it would have been fun. Obviously, that speculation is always there. Just like I'm sure we would have lost, it would have been fun to see the Warriors I love play the Bulls, you know. So you can only guess. But I think that just it would have been hard for them to regroup again, you know. And the one thing I'll say about the Warriors is, like, I think we would have beat the Raptors if Klay doesn't jack up his knee. Like, you know, and again, who knows, we still would have had to win game 7, we still actually would have had to win game 6, but for the most part, despite sometimes where Pippen was injured here and there, the Bulls actually had a really, really good run of injuries, just like the Warriors had up until this last year. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we always had Steph, Klay, and Dre, and Iggy, and the Bulls pretty much always had Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, which, you know, part of that's luck, part of that's being in good shape, part of being a hell of an athlete, just like LeBron. But, you know, could the Bulls have had another year of the core being healthy again?
Yeah,
you know,
at that exact same part of the year, too, March,
yeah,
June.
You know, you know, and again, Houston could have been hurt, too, but you just would have maybe given the edge to Houston with the health being in their favor. But, again, there's that dude named Jordan. Right. So it would have been a fun watch. And I was a Knicks fan at that time, and actually I remember, and this goes to show my freaking crazy memory, but I remember watching Game 7, and John Starks was like 3 of 18, and it was like a massive, massive storm that night. So I remember going down to my basement, and like I lost, like I didn't get to see the fourth quarter because, you know, my parents thought our like windows were going to break because it was like a horrible, horrible damn storm. So I can't believe I still remember that shit. But yeah, Starks had the worst game of his career, and the Rockets won Game 7. I wish the Knicks would have won that one, but wasn't the case.
Yeah, and this is also like, you know, like OJ time too, where during the damn game in the finals, OJ's on the run.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, and even they're showing it in the stadium. I remember calling people. We were pre-partying. We were gonna watch the game and then go out. We had like maybe 6 or 8 guys at my house. My parents were always out of town in the summer, so we're just chilling and we're getting phone calls. We're like, dude, you see this OJ shit? Oh my god! You know, so we're in and out when there's a timeout or it's halftime, or you know, we were watching the shit at the same time. And even if they didn't win that year, I think they would have got him the next year. First of all, Grant would be gone because he went to Orlando, but Kukoc came in. But remember, they also added Clyde Drexler in. So I like Clyde. This is when Clyde was still, you know, it was about to be like, when is he going to start to fall off? And he hadn't fallen off just yet. And when you look at it, that next year, that 95 year, 94-95, because they won, obviously, 93-94, that 94 year. 95, the next year when they were repeating, they had to go through Utah again. One more game this time, went through the Suns again. This time, still 7-game. I think they had like 3 or 4 7-game series. Then they beat the Spurs, and the Spurs had David Robinson, who won the MVP that year, and Dennis Rodman. So if you got Robinson, who has the MVP, who in the year before, Olajuwon had won it, and he did like Jordan. He's like, that's my trophy. We will get it back. You know, I remember the quotes of him saying that in this little documentary that I watched a while back. And then they had to beat the Spurs in a 6-game series, actually. They beat them. But like I said, with Robinson and fucking Rodman right next to him. So the Bulls didn't have that down low, and Rodman wasn't there that year because obviously he was in with the Spurs, and then not even Shaquille had, you know, anything for Hakeem. And this is like a super in shape, young, skinny, still I think only in his second year or whatever, but still, I mean, that's saying something. And like, okay, so Luke Longley and who is going to cover Jordan? Like Kukoc? Or not Jordan, but Olajuwon, like, the matchup was really difficult once you lost Rob. I mean, even losing Grant, it's not like he would have matched up and been like, oh, yeah. But that year, it's kind of funny because this year, I think I read 69 titles have been won, right? 68 of them were 4-seed and above. They are the only team that are below that. They were a 6-seed that year and won it. And this is where the problem ensued. They came back kind of on some, well, we just won the championship. Jordan's still not here. Couple of players, you know, were thinking about their careers after this year. And, man, am I going to get a contract? And they weren't 100% focused. They weren't able to summon the type of basketball they had played. And Vernon Maxwell, although he went off down 2-0 the year before, to storm back and win and play great ball, he started falling off. So they had a rough go at that. Sam Cassell was still there. Most of the team was still there. So they actually were having problems that second year trying to repeat. And they traded Otis Thorpe, who's a solid power forward, for Clyde Drexler. So then you add Clyde Drexler, who averaged with them 21.5 points, 7 boards, 4.5 assists, almost 2 steals. You still had now 28 points and 11 boards and 3.5 blocks, yada, yada, 2 steals from Olajuwon. So now you got Clyde Drexler. And that's when I was like, dude, if they didn't get him last year, the Bulls, they would have got him this year. Without Horace, and you only had Kukoc, but then you add Clyde instead, I think they get him last year or this year because you have Akeem. You have Horry, who can play that power forward, and then Drexler, and then Mario Elie, and then Kenny the Jet, Sam Cassell, Vern. I mean, they were deep as hell. They had six guys that averaged basically 10 or more. I mean, I don't see them winning that series. And, of course, you'd have to say, well, maybe they didn't know Clyde was coming because it happened during the year. So that was interesting. The bummer part about it is when Jordan did come back, not the partial year that really doesn't line up, but the 96 year that since he got beat out by that team, the Magic, you know, he came back with a vengeance and so did his teammate, and then they add Robin. Well, that next year, and this is where, you know, when you get older, that plays out too. That next year, Clyde the Glide, he was aging a little bit, but it wasn't so much that, oh, he's aging, he's not the same guy. It's he played 52 games, so he missed 30 games, you know, and Mario Elie missed about half the season, you know what I mean? So they did actually, like, it was tougher to get to the finals, and they ended up getting beat, you know, by Seattle in a game seven and stuff like that. And then the year after that, trying to match up this team at some point when Jordan was back to full strength, you know, it was just the opposite. Akeem was hurt, you know, so he missed. What did he miss? He played in, wait a second. Oh, that's when they, I just went by it. Basically, he missed like 40 games. So they never got to line up when it actually counted. And by that time, you go through that, well, you start to get old, you start to wear down, yada, yada, yada. Now that I look at the time, really what we were going to talk about is Zion Williamson and how they're trying to, like, his old – basically, here's the thing. Former agent of Zion is alleging he received, basically benefits. And there's a lawsuit going both ways. Williamson has a lawsuit to Prime Sports Marketing and it's basically he signed a contract with this representative, and then he said, well, actually, I don't think if it was 100%. I don't know if he found out something or whatever, but then he signed it with another squad or, you know, another representation. And you're talking about, like, so originally he signed with Prime Sports after he left Duke but filed a lawsuit to terminate the five-year contract June 13th. That was there, and then Williamson signed a deal with Creative Artist Agency to represent him May 30th. So obviously there's some issues there that need to be taken care of because it was April 20th in 2019 when he signed this Prime Sports, and they're suing for $100 million in damage. So basically they're trying to say, hey, you got to admit all this stuff that you did, even though he's not under those rules. Remember, not laws, but rules. And it's all kind of a funky thing going on. We did mention how the Big 12 and the SEC are going to let June 1st let their players come back into the facilities and start opening up their facilities. So we didn't really have a bunch of NCAA stuff. But what are your thoughts on this Zion thing? What about going after Duke, too, if you're really worried about it? But obviously they're looking for money. On this stuff, but it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Do you have any thoughts on this, or, like I said, the Big 12 and SEC are opening their stuff June 1st, which is a good sign for college football as well. Any last thoughts before we shut this puppy down, sir?
I think that the news on Zion just goes to show the documentary, which feels like I watched, God, 8 months ago now. Well, it is so damn true. Like, you know, there's questions about, well, did this person, you know, Zion, accept money and gifts? And, like, there's a couple of the women in the court documents. And it's like, well, yeah, like, all this is what he was trying to prove. And, God, what's his name? The young business dude. But it's everything he was trying to prove in his documentary. And it's just incredibly true.
Right.
you know, these guys are going to college, and it's kind of a bidding war if you want a top end player. Just like, that's why, you know, Sean Miller is making phone calls, and, you know, right. and like all this stuff is true. And this is just an example of a high profile player who was involved in a situation where he was offered gifts to go to Duke, and, you know, it's just news now. But again, I mean, he's in the NBA now, he's gone. Like, what's the, you're not going to go and punish the people who like accepted gifts with him. Like, those women aren't like a target, you know. It's just a part of a broken system. Now, again, even if they start allowing players to get sponsored, this is still going to occur, you know. So overall, like, you know, I just think it's a big deal just simply due to the fact that Zion is a really popular player. He seemed to be loved by the media, and he went to Duke. Like, you know, if this dude went to Western Michigan and played basketball in the MAC, like, you know, and I'm sure they probably, they pay players in the MAC too, you know, but no one gives a shit because he's not a star player that was, you know, loved by the media. So it doesn't surprise me. And I think that this was going to continue to happen more, but maybe the NCAA will continue to possibly help these players out in some way, shape or form to avoid these incidents going forward. Cause I mean, this does make them look bad. I mean, they really don't care much because they're going to want to try to punch the guy. But, yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's, I guess, same shit, different month, you know. But then the NCAA is, you know, hell, our last podcast talks about how they're, like, you know, hiding, taking back restrictions against players who, you know, commit awful crimes. So it's like they're not the holy moral people that they should be. So.
Yeah, and once again, the player is getting attacked. Not the coaches or anything like that. It has to do with the player and a little peons and stuff like that. And actually, I did have this article from a chunk of days ago, 4 days ago. The NCAA Council approves voluntary activities for football and basketball beginning June 1st. And a lot of that had to do with them, you know, it was set to expire May 31st as far as, you know, the vote that they had to stop it, obviously. That's women's basketball, men's basketball, football, as far as because they'd be doing the workouts, not the normal workout stuff, but you could start to maybe have like a little drill sessions and stuff like that. Not a full on, like, you're going to have spring practice and shit like that, but just starting to go there, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Had suspended activities through June 1st. It seems like they're going to come up with that too. All right, man, let's shut it down. Like I said, the next time you'll hear us, the title will be NBA is Back. We hope it's next Monday. We do have some other topics too, to address on that show, NBA wise. Why don't you get us out of here, sir?
All right, well, as always, stay safe, stay healthy, stay inside, sneak outside if you can, get those workouts in, enjoy some time at the beach park, or go play some golf. Until then, the boys are out next week. Peace.